Well, I want to return to this text, Mark 4, 21 through 25. And I very seldom feel called to begin a message with a question, but I have to today because the text begs this question, and that is, what are you doing with the Word of God? What are you doing with the Word of God? Well, some of you, most of you, can remember the Soviet Union. You know what the Soviet Union did with the Word of God? They banished it. They burned many churches, tried to destroy all the Bibles, tried to destroy the church. For you younger people, isn't it amazing, though, for us to think that there are young people today that don't know about the Soviet Union? It's not a real part of their lives. The Soviet Union was probably the most powerful dictatorship of the last century, responsible for the deaths of untold millions of people, ruled from 1917 until 1991 in Russia. In the Soviet Union, the government tried to control everything. They controlled where you lived. They controlled where you worked. They controlled what you learned at school. They controlled your health care, such as it was. As a result, because the government, the communist dictatorship, tried to control everything, the reality of the Soviet Union was that nobody could find anything. So if you look at your history books, and it's worth doing, you'll find that in the Soviet Union, for 70 years, mothers who bore the brunt of this problem, they had to set aside hours every day to stand in line for basic commodities. Think about it, you women. Think about getting up in the morning and saying, you know, I've got to set aside 5 hours today to stand in line at the meat market to get my ration. And tomorrow, when you get up, I'm going to have to stand in line for 5 hours to get vegetables or bread or some other commodity. Well, the thing about human nature is whenever life gets under that much control, people find a way around it. That's called the black market, you know, the buying and selling and trading of things underneath that goes on behind the scenes. It's called the black market. In the Soviet Union, there was a black market where you could find almost anything, including a Bible. And they were very expensive. But the Soviet internal police were always trying to crack down on the black market. And one of the things they had to do was stop the stealing of commodities, which is where the black market got all of its goods. And so the police were tasked with preventing the theft of nails and bread and meat and whatever. And I was reading about one particular situation where a police officer in the Soviet Union was ordered to guard the gate of a wood mill, a timber mill, because people were stealing lumber out of the timber mill. And they were selling it on the black market. So the chief of police told this one police officer, your job is to stand at the gate and make sure people aren't sneaking lumber under their jackets or whatever out of the mill. Well, every week on Friday, this officer would see this one worker and he'd come out with this wheelbarrow and it was full of big burlap sacks that were full of bulky, full of things. And he'd stop the guy and he'd say, okay, comrade, what do you got in the sacks? And the guy'd pour out, he'd make him pour out the sacks, and they were always just sawdust or wood chips. You know, there's nothing tucked in there, no small 2x4 or some piece of wood, just wood chips. Week after week, the guy'd come out, wheelbarrow full of these big bags, the cop would make him pour it out. You know, I know you're smuggling something out. Finally, after a long time, he looked at the man, he said, look, Ivan, I know you. You're smuggling something out. If you'll tell me what it is you're smuggling, I'll let you off the hook. Ivan looked at him and said, wheelbarrows. How easy it is to get distracted from what the truth is by, you know, the world and clever tricks and things that we're not supposed to be looking for. It's easy for us as Christians to be distracted from the mission that Christ has called us to do. Jesus told us in Matthew 28:19, go, each one of you, go therefore into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them the things that I've commanded you, which is the Word of God. But so many Christians in our church today, the church at large, are watching bags of sawdust. They're watching the wrong thing. Their intentions are good, but they're being distracted. Let's look again at this text, Mark 4:21-25. Also, Jesus said to his disciples, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then Jesus said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now this is a familiar text. The first two verses are familiar to all of us. The lamp should be placed on a lampstand. The last three verses maybe are less familiar to you because they're kind of difficult verses and you cannot just breeze over them. That's why Jesus says in verse 24, take heed what you hear. When Jesus, that's an old-fashioned way of saying, listen carefully to what I'm saying. You cannot breeze over these words. You must carefully think about what Jesus is saying. Well, familiar and difficult, we're going to look at these texts. And we see that Jesus is first of all telling us that the Word of God is the light. And second of all, Jesus is telling you, use the light and see. And third of all, Jesus is telling you, grace multiplies grace. Well, the Word is the light. We look at what Jesus is saying. First of all, remember Jesus says, pay attention. Well, if we look at chapter 4, we find Jesus on a boat preaching on the shore, because the shore is filled with a multitude of people. And what's he teaching about? Well, the parables in the first part of chapter 4 are the parable of the sower, which is kind of a funny name. It's usually we think it should be the parable of the seed, right? Because the parable of the sower talks about sowing the seed, which is the Word of God. It lands on various ground, most of which is not very good, and the seed is either choked out or died. But on some ground, the seed takes root, and then it bears fruit. Remember that parable? Jesus is teaching about the Word. And the disciples ask him to explain it to them, and he does. And then he teaches this second parable about a lamp. Remember, Jesus is, in his mind, he's teaching about the Word of God. He says this lamp is not to be placed under a basket or under the bed, but it's to be placed on a lampstand where it can do its work of shedding light. Well, you know, as I read this text and was praying over it earlier this week, I was reminded of all the times I have sat and heard this message preached, but usually it's from Matthew 5:16. And usually the title of the message is something like, let your light shine. If you've read this in a devotional, you know, maybe in Portals of Prayer or Daily Bread, almost invariably the context is, let your light shine. I look back at some of the old commentaries from the 30s even. Solid, rock solid Lutherans. And sure enough, their exposition was, let your light shine. Let people see Jesus Christ through your godly living. Well, that's good. And it's accurate and it's true. But unfortunately, the church for the last 70 or more years has been looking at wheelbarrows, or I'm sorry, looking at sawdust and missing the wheelbarrows. They have been distracted by the truth, or from the truth. They've been distracted from the truth of what Jesus is saying. The light on the lampstand is not about you directly. It's about Jesus Christ. And Jesus is saying, you are a light when you live a godly life, and as you remember to live in the Word of God and remember the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching. If we just think of the lamp as ourselves, which is so often the teaching, and our good works, separate from the Word of God, well, we're looking at bags of sawdust. No one will ever be converted to salvation in Jesus Christ, by faith in Jesus Christ. No one will ever be converted because of your good living or because you're a good person. The Bible says that the Word of God is the means of grace. You are a light only when you bring them God's Word. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith in Jesus Christ, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Yes, it's important for us to live godly lives, and it's important for us not to bring shame on the church of Christ through sin and worldliness. You know, the world loves it when a Christian falls. It's always in the press. It gets front line on the Associated Press. You know, when a pastor falls, or a prominent evangelist fails in one way or another, enemies of Christ are eager to point out fallen Christians. And they like to say, see, they're no better than we are. And herein lies the proof of this text. You are to bring other people the light of God's Word. Ultimately, you are not the light yourself. I can't tell you how many times over the past several years I've gone to some wayward Christian outside the church, and I've visited them, and I've asked them, I've called them to return to fellowship and to worship of Jesus, and I'll hear this. You know, inside that church I saw some misbehavior or some transgression, and if that's the way the church is going to be, I don't want any part of it. I hear that so frequently. And then I ask them, I say, what have the errors of fallen Christians got to do with salvation through Christ alone? What have they got to do with the Word of God, which leads you to salvation? You cannot be the light without bringing the Word of God. Now, last week I was invited to the meeting of another church body, and they're struggling with what is the definition of sin. And at their national convention, they voted to allow people living in open sin to be ordained. And as the discussion between the church leaders and the laity went back and forth, the leaders proclaimed that these people who are living in open sin and open rebellion to God's Word, you know, they're really good people. That's what we heard. And they said, these people love other people. And we can see light in their lives. We see goodness in them, and we can't call them sinners. That's what the leadership of the church said. The problem is that that church body has questioned God's Word, whether it's true or not, for a long time. And it's the Word which is the light. John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but has the light of life. And Jesus said, Father, sanctify your church by your truth. Your Word is truth. Jesus has given you his Word, and the Word is the light of your life. It's a lamp for your life. You are not the light. God is, his Word is, and Jesus says you're to bring that light of the Word into the place where you live. That's the whole deal. You take this lamp and you put it in the center of the room where you're living so it can cast its light. into every corner of the room where you're working and living. But it means not only your home, but it means to bring this same light of God's word into your workplace and where you're shopping and where you're relaxing. There are neighbors all around each one of us who do not know God. They do not know salvation through Jesus Christ. And they may think you're a fine person, an honest woman, a good man. But Jesus says you're to bring them the light. You must bring them God's word. Do you need to quote to them pages of scripture? No. What I tell my young people in confirmation is there's two verses you got to know before everything else. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but has everlasting life. That's 25 words, one sentence. You can memorize that. We all have. Most of you have. Probably all of you have. Share that verse with people. It's the gospel. It's the pure gospel. But share this verse with them too. It's even shorter. It's only 18 words. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Those two verses are law and gospel. Share those verses with people who do not know God. And when they ask you questions, then give them one of your small little New Testaments and say, read God's word. There's where you'll find your answers. You don't have to be an encyclopedia knowing all the answers, but know those two verses. And then when they bug you or ask you questions or want to argue, just give them a little New Testament and say, you read the light. Or invite them to church where they can hear the word proclaimed. Jesus said in our text, the more you use the light, the more you will see. Verse 24, he says, listen carefully now. With the same measure that you use the word of God, it will be measured out to you. Do you want to know the difference between right and wrong? Read God's word. Do you want to understand what sin is and what the consequences of sin are? Read God's word. The word is the light of your life and guides your footsteps. Psalm 119, 105, you've all heard this verse. The word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Do you want blessings in your life? And I'm not talking about prosperity theology. I'm not talking about wealth. I'm talking about contentment. I'm talking about joy and peace with God. You want blessings in your life? Then let God's word bring light to your mind so that you understand the consequences of the choices that lay before you. Many, many times in my short ministry, dear souls have come to me with many serious problems in their life. Financial problems. Marriage problems, problems with children in terrible rebellion. And you know, there's nothing that breaks a parent's heart more than a young child who's going off into destructive behavior. And as we sit and we talk and we kind of find out what the background is, without exception, we get to the point where they turned away from God's word in the choices that they made in their life. I often hear, well, everyone was doing it. Without the light of God's word, they could not see where that choice was leading them until it was too late. So God assures each one. He says, the more you use the lamp of my word, the more you will see, the more you will have discernment, the more you will be blessed. Likewise, Jesus says, now listen carefully. The less you use my word, the less you will see. The less you will see where you are going. And the blessings of life will fade. And this explains this difficult verse, verse 25. Jesus says, for whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he does have, will be taken away. By every measure, if you go to the Barna survey, if you look at Dobson's survey, if you go to the federal government and their study on religion in America, you will see that for the last two decades, the mainline liberal churches in America have been losing people. Some of these churches have lost almost 50% of their congregations in the last decade alone. And as these liberal church bodies waste their time studying man's philosophy and man's politics instead of relying upon God's word, is it any wonder that they can no longer tell the difference between right and wrong? They no longer know what sin is. And even what they have is being taken away from them. Man is not the light. God's word is the light. Meanwhile, Bible-believing churches of every denomination in this country that stand on the authority of God's word and the inerrancy of God's word are growing and growing, and they've been growing for decades. And why is that? Because people need the light. They know they need the light, and they want to hear it. They want to see it. God's word is light. And Jesus says that grace multiplies grace. The word of God is the means of grace. Jesus calls us not to leave his word under a basket or in our dresser drawer, but instead bring it into our lives where it may shed light. In the light of God's word, there's no confusion between right and wrong. Sin is revealed for what it is, destructive, hurtful, harming not only the sinner, but loved ones and unknown others as well. Unrepentant sin leads to damnation. But also the light of God's word brings grace, brings the grace of God to those who fear judgment. First of all, by the grace of God, the word creates faith in your heart that Jesus died for your sins. Romans 10, 17, we talked about faith comes by hearing the word of God. But also John 20, verse 31, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that in believing you may have life in his name. Having created faith in your heart through the hearing of the word, the Holy Spirit continues to use the word. Grace multiplies grace. He strengthens your walk so that you know that your sins are forgiven and that you may defeat your old nature and the desires of your flesh. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction, for the instruction in righteousness, all Scripture. So the Bible says, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Therefore, let the Word of God dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Whatever you do in word and deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. So the word of God is given to bring you into the light, but also Jesus calls you to bring that light to others. No matter where you are, as you see the need in your family or in the workplace or in the market, you are to be keeping the word on a lampstand so that others may see the light. Jesus calls you to share the good news with others so that they too may be called out of darkness to the light of God's word and into salvation, so that they too may walk as children of light. And then they will share that word with others, and grace multiplies grace. So what are you doing with the word of God? Are you keeping it hidden in your heart or under your bed? Are you thinking that people will be saved by the way that you live or the way that you walk? Dear friends, Jesus calls each saved soul to share the word of God with those in need, the law of God to unrepentant sinners, and the gospel of salvation to those who fear the coming judgment. John 1. 9 and 12, the Bible says, Jesus is the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. And as many as receive him, he gives the right to become the children of God to those who believe in his name. May his name always be praised.